There are days when, for whatever reason, you know, they just take more out of you than other days. Have you ever had those? So Sundays are an interesting day for me because sometimes I do 3 morning services and preach a message and just walk out just energized. And other times I do it and it's still very energized, but it just takes some out of you, you know? So this afternoon I was driving home. We had the 3 morning services, and then after the 3 morning services, we had chapter 1, which was a lot of fun. And then after chapter 1, I was on the phone with my dad, who's in Ethiopia right now, working on some adoption stuff and weeding through some things. And that's an emotional roller coaster ride. And I got home, and tonight, you know, we're dealing in Proverbs and we're dealing with the tongue. And I said to Brooke, I said, well, at least we're dealing with the tongue tonight, because that's kind of a no-brainer, right? I mean, the tongue. How hard can that be? You guys know Ephesians 4:29, and you know James chapter 2. And I'm going to go through and breeze through a couple of scriptures and Proverbs I read this week on the tongue. There's a lot of them. So I thought, well, that's great. There's a lot of information there. Solomon has a lot to say about the tongue. So as a preacher and a teacher and a pastor, that's sort of a no-brainer one, you know? You don't have to try to weed through and figure out what it is that's being said about the tongue. It's pretty clear. I don't know that I could have been more misguided. Really. I mean, this afternoon as I sat and I read the scriptures that I had found in Proverbs on the tongue and on the mouth, that just started overwhelming me. You know, just like, wow, there's something. I read them all this week. They seemed real plain then. They're still real plain now, but the plainness is changing into such an overwhelming sense of impossibility that I'm like, God, what are you saying? I mean, this is crazy. Because for whatever reason, as I was reading them this afternoon, maybe it was the Spirit of God just going, you misguided little fool, read again. And just tying lines together that went, do you see how deeply rooted this is into your life? Do you see how every part of you is consumed by this little machine in your mouth that spews forth its stuff daily, and it cannot do it without tying itself to what's going on down here? Solomon and the other authors of Proverbs have a lot to say about the tongue. So here's what I'd like to do, all right? I'm gonna just take a minute, and I'm just going to let the Proverbs speak for themselves. I'm just going to read literally most of the verses in Proverbs that have the word tongue or the word mouth in them, okay? I just want you to listen. And I'm going to ask you to take a moment before I start reading this. I'm going to take a moment and just pray and just say, Spirit of God, reveal to me now as we hear your word what it is you're saying about the tongue. So take a minute and just do that. Proverbs 6, 16 and 17. These are the things that God hates: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. When words are many, Proverbs 10, 19, sin is not absent. When words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be cut out. A man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. You ready? Proverbs 12:18, reckless words pierce like a sword, But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 12:19, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise commands knowledge, but the mouth of fools gush folly. Proverbs 15:4, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 17:20, a man of perverse heart does not prosper. He whose tongue is deceitful falls into trouble. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. That's one of my favorites. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Did you hear that? Let me read that again. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 21:16, a fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. Whew, we should pay attention to that one. A fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. Proverbs 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. Proverbs 25:23. As a north wind brings rain, so a sly tongue brings angry looks. Proverbs 26:28. A lying tongue hates those it hurts. Did you hear that? Did that move you? A lying tongue hates those it hurts. And a flattering mouth works ruin. He who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue. And just for the record, Proverbs 31:26, commending a woman of noble character. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. That was tongue. Should I do mouth? Should I just leave it for right now? When you think of wisdom, when you think of the wise, what comes to mind? You know, try to picture it. I live in pictures, right? That's my life. Everything has to be a picture, otherwise it doesn't make any sense to me. So when I think of a picture, wisdom, I try to picture it in a movie. That's where I go first. Find it in a movie. Okay, so when you think of a movie, movie industry, the whole movie, what, when you say the word wise, who is wise? Aslan. Oh, I like that. So, Yoda. Yoda comes to mind. I'm like, oh, I mean, you know, Yoda. What's the movie with the bear that's the Kung Fu Panda? Do you ever see Kung Fu Panda? I see all those because my kids see them all. There's a turtle in there. He's really wise. I love him. He's really wise. He's like Yoda. He's like Aslan. These characters, and there's so many more I could go on, but here's one of the interesting things that I've noticed as I started thinking about wisdom is whenever you bump into the wise, whether it is a personification in a movie or whether it is the elder in a tribe in Africa or whether it is the wise seem very quiet, don't they? Think about that for a second. Don't the wise seem very quiet? They're always just sort of standing there while everybody else is talking. And then when it matters, when it counts, the wise speak. And everybody stops and they're like, whoa. Aslan does that. In every movie, every one of those movies, it's like everybody's going and then at exactly the right moment when he speaks, everything just goes quiet. It seems that Solomon, as he's speaking to his sons, recognizes that words matter a great deal. I mean, there was a lot in the Proverbs about tongue and mouth, and he says they matter a great deal. They matter a great deal for a number of different reasons. You heard them all in there. They matter a great deal because they mark you, don't they? Did you hear that? He talked a lot about what a fool does with their words and what the wicked do with their words. And he kept saying, listen, when those words come out of your mouth, if these are the kinds of words emerging, they mark you. My dad always used to say, and it's funny, my dad's one of my heroes in life. And part of the reason is because he lived a life, just a life that honored God in his actions, you know? Wasn't a man that did a whole lot of, you know, you'd see him praying all day in the corner or reading his scriptures all day. But man, when you watched his life, it reflected those things and you're like, how does he do that? And one of the things I can say about my dad is this, that in all of my years, I'm 37 years old, in all of my years, one time recently in the last 2 years, one time I heard a word pass my dad's lips that was vulgar in any way, and it was the lightest of the words. It was one that if you threw it out right now, none of us would probably even think about twice about it. My dad used to say to me when I was young, if you don't have a vocabulary big enough that you have to use those words, it demonstrates how unintelligent you are. Isn't that crazy? And I used to think in high school, whenever I wanted to cuss, I would think to myself, I'm about to make myself look very unintelligent. And that stopped me. Isn't that crazy? Because the words that come out of our mouths, they mark us. They mark what? Our character, our heart. They mark what's inside of us. So Solomon thinks words matter a great deal because he says the words that come out of your mouth, they will mark you. And what they will mark is they will mark what's actually going on inside of you. So you can hide all you want, but when those words come out of that mouth, man, you hide nothing. It's like Facebook, you know? Once you get on Facebook, you can't hide. Your life's out there. And words are like that. I think Solomon felt deeply as he laid all this out for his sons in these bits and pieces, these bite-sized pieces. He said, you know, words matter a great deal because they mark you, but words also matter a great deal because they affect your life. Isn't that amazing? It would be one thing if words just marked us, but words affect our life. Did you hear words like calamity? Did you hear words like cut off? Did you hear words like a vapor? I mean, here's what he says. He says, if you use your words carelessly, not only will they mark you, but they will also create in your life calamity. Do you understand? They will deeply affect your life. And he looks at his sons and he goes, boys, please hear me. If you use careless words, you will find yourself in a bad place. I think sometimes we forget that the words of our mouths, we think that there's something that come out that don't have tangible physical ability to shape and change things, and we couldn't be more misguided. I think our words do more in the physical realm than our actions sometimes even do. Because words have such power in them, they mark us so deeply that they affect the life we live. And if you are careless with your words, the scriptures are clear, folks. Calamity will mark us. And if you have a lying tongue, that is that you are deceitful with your words. Oh, it gets much uglier, right? And I think Solomon spoke so much about the tongue and about words because words matter because they affect other people deeply. Yeah, it marks you. But if you're foolish enough, you won't really care about that. And yeah, it leads you to calamity, destruction. But you know, foolish people, they like destruction. But Solomon says, listen, your words are not simply about you. They impact others deeply. The most convicting verse I read in there as far as the impact on others was this one. The lying tongue hates the people it hurts. Can you imagine Solomon just writing that? when you lie, you demonstrate that you hate the person you lied to. That is an extraordinary statement. See, we think when we're deceitful with our words, when we don't measure them carefully, when we're deceitful with them, we convince ourselves that maybe we're protecting, or maybe we're protecting ourselves, or even sometimes we say we're protecting the other person. But listen to me now. Solomon says your words are so important that if you speak a lie, whoever you spoke that lie to, you demonstrate that you hate that person. That's extraordinary. Did you hear in there the verses where it said our words bring life or death? They hold life or death in their hands. Guys, this is not light language, okay? Life or death. Your words have the power to destroy, to kill, to absolutely shatter the soul of another person. But your words also have the power to take death and bring life into it. Your words deeply impact other people. So Solomon says, they matter. They matter because they mark you. They matter because they affect you. They matter because they affect others. But in all of that, although all of that is important, I think above all else, I think ultimately Solomon wrote all of this because your words matter to God. They matter to your Savior, to your Father. They matter to Him. Every word you speak, please hear me, every word you or I speak matters to God. He says it in there. Did you hear it? These are the things God hates. I mean, you'd think on a list, hates. I tell my children, you cannot tell somebody else you hate them, right? Because hate, that's a big one. I hate this stuff. And God says, these are the things I hate. And what does he put in there? Haughty eyes and those who shed blood, innocent blood. I mean, that's, you know, listen to this. Are you ready for this? When we hear about what just happened, for instance, down in Arizona, right? Some guy walks into a place and shoots 18 people and kills a number of them. Well, how do we feel about that? Before we even know the struggles of that young man, how do we feel about that? We just go, that is horrible, right? To shed innocent blood, that is horrible. And God puts that right next to a lying tongue. How many of you recently have spoken a deceitful word, a lie, and have thought to yourself, this is as devastating as shedding innocent blood? Listen, you got to understand, this afternoon I'm reading this stuff, and I'm like, you know, words matter, and they change people and stuff. And God starts going, when last have you thought to yourself, or no? When you lie, it makes me feel the same way as when you shed innocent blood. Our words matter to God. They matter to God. So, if we know that our words matter so much, they mark us, they affect our lives, they affect the lives of others, and they matter to the God that we say we serve, what ought we to do with our words? What should be our response to this amazing statement from Solomon? Words matter. Well, two things come to mind for me. Two things that it seems are very clear, not only in the Proverbs, but in the rest of Scripture. Our words are born from somewhere, aren't they? Where are our words born from? The heart. That's right. The soul. The inner man, right? Our words are always born from within. That's why the tongue is just a rudder. What it does is it spews forth what is in the heart. So where are our words born? They're born in our heart. Have you thought about this? Just think about this for a second. Every single time you use words carelessly, it is always going to be when you are feeling particularly prideful, particularly fearful, or particularly angry. Right? If you are at peace and you are content and you sense the redemptive work of Christ in your life and you are in a mood to forgive, your words are never careless. They are only careless when you are angry or frustrated, when you are prideful so that you flatter or you lie, when you are fearful. And those are not things of God. So God says, listen, your words are going to be born out of your heart. Just in case you feel like, well, that's neat, Renaud, that you say that, but you know, you can't just make stuff up like that. You know, you can't just say, well, it's born from the heart. That sounds neat. Let me just turn you to the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Hear these words. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Within your heart. For they are life, and those who find them, but to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. Now listen, here it is. You ready? You've heard this before. Here it comes again. Above all else, guard your heart. Why? What is it? For it is the wellspring of life. Now watch. What's the very next verse? Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. See, Solomon knows what he's doing, man. He goes, if you can't get it right here, it's going to spill out here. So guard your heart, for out of your heart springs life. Put away perverse talk. Put away the stuff that comes out of your mouth. This is coming from a dark place. So the first thing we need to recognize is that our words are always born from within. And the second thing we need to recognize is that our words always birth something. They are born from somewhere and they birth something. The second a word comes out of your mouth, it will begin its process of bringing into being something. And it will either be one thing or the other. Life or death. Peace or calamity. Freedom or destruction. Are you with me? Every time you speak, your words will birth life or they will birth death. And every time you speak, they are born from somewhere inside of you. So, if we know our words are born from within, and we know our words will birth something, life or death, then the best I can tell, as I walk into this, as God says to Renaud, measure your words, Renaud. Because they matter, because they mark you, because they impact your life, because they impact the lives of others, and because your God thinks they're important. I have to start here. Before I speak. And guys, please know, this is as convicting as it gets for me right here, because I'm a talker. Before I speak a word, I should ask myself, where is it born from? Is it born from malice, anger, frustration, fear, pride? Or is it born from peace and redemption and forgiveness? Is it born from the things of God in me, or is it born from the things of Renaud? And before I speak a word, I should measure where it is born from. And if it is born from a dark place, I should take it captive and I should destroy it before it passes my lips. That's what the Bible says. That's what Solomon's saying to his sons. Keep your mouth shut until you have measured your words. For wise is the one who speaks little and holds his tongue. And foolish is the one who speaks a lot. Where there are many words, sin is never absent. Isn't that amazing? So, where are my words born from? Out of what are they being birthed? And if there's anything dark there, I shouldn't speak them. If you did that, hear me please. It would be impossible to gossip. It would eradicate gossip. It would be impossible to kill your family with your words, your children or your spouse. Because if they are not born out of the things of God in your heart, then they should not be spoken. And then I should measure before I speak them, even if I measure, they are from the place in me that is God's redemptive power in me. They are from the Spirit of God in me. Then I should ask myself this, why am I speaking them? What is it that I hope they will accomplish? Will they bring life to something? Ephesians 4:29, right? Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, except for that which is for the building up of others according to their needs. Why am I about to speak? If it's not going to build something up, someone up, I shouldn't speak. Are you overwhelmed yet? Because I'm overwhelmed. I mean, I walked in here tonight and I'm like, I don't know that I can speak anymore. I mean, I'm going to have to spend so much time evaluating my words that by the time I figured out whether I can speak them, the person will have left. And God said to me, that's it, Renaud. The wise hold their tongue and the foolish speak. So I must ask, where are my words being born from? And I must ask, why am I saying them? What life are they about to bring? And if both those questions are there, born from Christ in me, and they will bring life to someone outside, then speak them and speak them with joy. And if you can't answer those two questions with that, if they're going to bring death or they are not from Christ, then don't speak them at all. Hold your tongue. And just for the record, silence is often words. So don't sit here and go, well, that I'm not going to speak to my spouse for 3 days because I have nothing good to say. Those are plenty of words. They're just not passing your lips. They're coming right out of your eyes. Okay? So that doesn't count. That doesn't count. Okay? I about died laughing when Sean pulled out the last song because he didn't know I was going to do this. But I want you to turn to Psalm 19. We come back to this quite often, and I'm going to come back to this here and now. You know, it's funny, when I was preparing this message this week, I thought to myself, this will be another 429 message, you know? Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, except for that which is for the building up of others. That's not where God landed this at all for me. He landed it here. Because this isn't about other people. This isn't about what you're marked as, although those things matter a great deal. Please don't misunderstand. But this is about the very last point. Your words matter to God. And listen to what he says. This is incredible. It ties the two together. Verse 14 of Psalm 19. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. Do you see that? Those two are not separated. Why not? Where are your words born from? Your heart. If your heart is not right, your words will be a mess. And if your heart is right, your words will be life-giving. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, simultaneously, they're not separate, they're the one and the same, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I'm going to walk out of this place tonight, and this week I feel it in my bones. I'm going to find myself spewing words out in frustration or anger or pride or fear, and they're going to come out, and I'm going to know as they leave my lips, death. And so I'm overwhelmed. And so I come back to the only place I can land again. It seems to be my life story in the last 2 months. God, I can't do this. I can't do this. I cannot measure every one of my words. I don't have it in me to do that. It's too much happening. And then God says, of course you can't. But I will. If you fix your eyes on me, the author and perfecter of your faith. So I challenge you with this tonight. I think the call out of the scriptures is so high, it should be mind-boggling. Every word you speak reflects your entire being. Every word you speak affects your life. Every word you speak affects others' lives. And every word you speak pleases or deeply disappoints the God we serve. So we need to beg the Spirit of God to rise up in us and keep our eyes fixed so that malice and anger and hatred and pride and fear will be slain in us, so that our words will be of life. If we could guard our heart the way we are told to, and if we could make sure that it was always held before the Lord God Almighty, our words would change the world. May we guard our hearts above all else, for they are the wellspring of our words and our lives. That is my message to you tonight as God speaks it to my heart. God, Renaud, measure your words, but before you ever get there, guard your heart. And don't speak until your heart is well guarded. May we all hold our tongue until we have measured our words. Let's pray. God, forgive me for being so arrogant and foolish to think that this was a no-brainer. Forgive me for being so arrogant and foolish to think that we've been over this and it's simple and easy. I thank you, Spirit of God, that you are never satisfied with my mediocrity and that you drive me to places where things matter more. I pray that for everyone in this room, that we would not be satisfied with our lives as mediocre versions of what they could be, but that we would take seriously the call from your servant Solomon to say that our words matter, every single one of them, and that we should not release them from our lips until we have examined our hearts and the place from which they're born and have examined their purpose and the place to which they will go. We recognize, Father, that you hate a lying tongue as much as you hate shedding of innocent blood. We recognize, Father, that the words of a fool are many, but the words of the wise are few. We recognize, Father, that you call us to meditate in our heart and speak with our mouth only those things that may be pleasing in your sight. Remind us, Holy Spirit, that every word we speak defends the kingdom of God and raises the name of Jesus, or the exact opposite. And may we take that responsibility very, very soberly. We pray finally, Spirit of God, that you would rise up in us and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Measure our words. Convict us of them. Burn into us the desire to speak only what matters for your kingdom. We love you, Jesus. Amen.